Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon again here on 97.1 FM Talk. Great to be with you. Great to kick off this great afternoon. We have a amazing show planned, and thank you for everyone who was involved with that. I absolutely love this time of year. This really, for me, the holiday season kicks off the day after Halloween. But I realize, the conversation we had yesterday, that for a lot of people, this is the true kickoff. So yes, we're going to cover some serious stuff, some serious topics, but we also are going to talk Christmas music, and what that. My favorite Christmas music for some people would be their least favorite Christmas music. I have a wide range of music that I love, but it's funny. So my start in radio was when I was a junior in college. My start on air, when they finally trusted me with a mic, was 2017, December 25th, Christmas Day. And we had a snowstorm coming through Western New York. And I was on the board there because I had taken too many vacation days. And we had to do weather updates at the top of every hour. And there was no one there. There was no newsroom on Christmas Day. So it was Joe Beamer talking to Heather Zare from AccuWeather. And and I would throw in little things, right? So we used to simulcast Christmas music on Christmas Day. And we would break in at the top of the hour, play, Fox News. And then I would come on and say, we have Heather Zare here. What's the storm looking like? And then I would ask a random question like, so Heather, we're listening to all this Christmas music. What's your favorite song? And I would just try to have fun with the segment. 2 weeks later, I'm filling in hosting. So it's so Christmas music always has a special place because that's, that's where my radio career started when they started trusting me with a mic. So coming up today, we'll be talking with Daniel Turner about the choice in energy, also the climbing energy rates in Missouri. Now, this is something that's going on in New York, in New Jersey, and now it's happening in Missouri. Daniel Turner will tell us exactly what is going on and why we are seeing those increased rates. We'll also talk to Charles Lipson. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago, and he'll be talking about the Ukraine-Russia peace talks and where we stand on that going into this Thanksgiving holiday. We're also going to be talking with Dave Murray. You just heard his forecast. You guys have a little winter weather coming in the Friday on Black Friday and into the weekend. It's funny. I just did my show in Buffalo and they put me on for an extra hour. So I literally was on the air until 4 Eastern and then had to run down here to do the show. And we have a winter storm hitting tomorrow. And, for me, the big thing is the turkey trot, which is the turkey trot is for me, that's Thanksgiving. That's how you kick off Thanksgiving. And it's going to be 50 mile an hour wind gusts, slushy rain, snow mix, just blowing everywhere. You'll get the salt on the road, being picked up and thrown in your face. So it'll be a great kickoff to Thanksgiving. And, I always use it as an excuse to have an extra plate at the Thanksgiving table. But obviously We'll get to all that. We'll get serious. We'll have a little fun as well. But we do have to start the show with some tragic news. And obviously, you never want to hear this, but especially the day before Thanksgiving, we have a shooting that took place in Washington, D.C., about a mile from the White House. And the latest that we know are two guardsmen were shot. And unfortunately, we've gotten confirmation from the governor of West Virginia. They were West Virginia guardsmen, and they both have passed from their injuries. A suspect is in custody after taking shots at National Guard members. Now, it's some people are saying steps from the White House. I saw another report a mile from the White House. The president has been briefed and is keeping tabs on this. He put on True Social. The animal that shot the two National Guardsmen, with both being critically wounded and now in two separate hospitals, is also severely wounded, but regardless will pay a very steep price. God bless our great National Guard and all of our military and law enforcement. These are truly great people. I, as President of the United States, and everyone associated with the Office of the Presidency, am with you. Again, that's President Trump. Obviously, he put that out before it was confirmed by Governor Patrick Morsi, who tweeted, "It is with great sorrow that we can confirm both members of the West Virginia National Guard who were shot earlier today in Washington, D.C., have passed away from their injuries. These brave West Virginians lost their lives in the service of their country. We are in ongoing contact with federal officials as the investigation continues. Our entire state grieves with their families, their loved ones, and the Guard community. West Virginia will never forget their service or their sacrifice, and we will demand full accountability for this horrific act." So again, obviously not the news we want to start with, but breaking out of Washington, D.C., two guardsmen shot fatally in Washington about a mile from the White House. President Trump, the FBI, and the DOJ have been briefed on the shooting. And again, we'll keep tabs on that. The shooter is in custody, also is in the hospital in custody, as they have also been injured in this. So we will keep tabs on that. Again, that's awful any day of the week. And it's, you know, truly awful. Those are two families that will be, be at the Thanksgiving table and they grieving the loss of their family member. And, you know, I'll tell you, this came across the screen about an hour ago, and it's one of those things. I was talking about this yesterday. You put yourself in the situation. You know, there's so many people. I was talking about voting and how I think a lot of voters don't put themselves in the situation, right? They just see, oh, well, that was a shooting, you know, an hour from where I live. And it would be different if it was a shooting in your neighborhood or if it was, you know, your house being robbed. And you know, I watched this and I have not been able to stop thinking, like, you know, what if that was my family? What if I was going to Thanksgiving tomorrow and, you know, we're grieving and, you know, we've lost a family member. It's just, it's heartbreaking. And as the president said, and I agree, I hope that the shooter pays the full price. And I'm quite certain that that the shooter will. So we'll keep tabs on that. Like I said, the president, the FBI, and the DOJ is all keeping tabs on this and assisting in the investigation. So when we come back, we will be talking with Daniel Turner. He is the founder and executive director of Power the Future. Talking about Energy Choice Act. That is an act that is being that was brought to the floor by my congressman, Nick Langworthy. And it's going after states like New York that want to get rid of gas. There was a push. There was going to be a mandate on January 1st that all new builds in New York could not have natural gas hookups, that they had to be all electric. Now, a judge has put that on pause. So that will not be happening January 1st. But that's where the idea of this Energy Choice Act, it really is targeting blue states like New York and California. Also, energy rates. This is a problem nationwide, and it is starting to be noticeable here in Missouri. We will talk to Daniel about that after this break. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on Thanksgiving Eve on 97.1 FM Talk. And it is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on this Thanksgiving Eve, and we welcome the founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner. Daniel, welcome to the show. It's been a while, my friend.
Yeah, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start in Washington, D.C., where we have the Energy Choice Act being discussed. I believe it got out of a subcommittee. Congressman Nick Langworthy, my congressman, and 26 other members of Congress have signed on and co-sponsored this bill. Daniel, tell us about the bill and why it was brought to the Congress.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the larger effort to build out the infrastructure for reduced energy costs. We had 4 years of the Biden administration thwarting every pipeline, every infrastructure project, transmission lines, not to mention just drilling for oil, for gas, mining coal, et cetera. And those eventually all compounded. And we get to these crazy energy prices where we are now. It's very easy to point fingers at the current administration and say, you know, they're not doing enough to bring down prices. But this is 4 years of an administration that punished American energy, and reversing that is going to be essential. And what's good about legislation is that these are permanent fixes, right? We get a lot of ping pong from the administration. One EPA director comes in and does this, and the next EPA administrator comes in and does that. What we need are laws. What we need are legislative fixes, so that if Gavin Newsom is elected in a couple of years and he brings in a bunch of wackos, they can't undo the good work that we put in place.
You know, Daniel, obviously in New York State, this plays big because it's targeting Kathy Hochul as well, who is trying to limit gas to houses. I mean, new builds were supposed to not have gas hookups starting January 1st. A judge has put a hold on that mandate. But this would kind of take that control out of some of these blue states that want to overpower the grid, it seems.
It really would. And I think that's essential. Of course, I love the 10th Amendment, and I do believe in states' rights. But I don't think anyone would look at President Trump, for example, when he goes into a city like Chicago or Los Angeles and says, you have a crazy crime problem. Your elected leaders are doing nothing. I, as president, am not going to sit by and watch you all get destroyed. It's kind of the same way a little bit when it comes to energy. We're not going to allow the blue states to sink not just their constituents, but then drag the rest of the country down with us. You know, Kathy Hochul's to abolish or ban gas products in New York isn't going to make New York cheaper or safer. Quite frankly, it puts a lot of people in danger. And if you don't have a gas-powered generator, or you don't even have a gas stove, if you're totally dependent on electricity, what happens when you have blackouts and brownouts, right? We see that a lot in New York City when they have these terrible winters and in New York public housing, and people are using their gas stove. At least they can cook, right? The rest of the house is a disaster, but natural gas always works. So it is kind of saving blue states from themselves, which I think is a valuable thing to do.
Now, like you said, I mean, this becomes law. It will protect from the next administration. But let's say the next administration, which I believe will be J.D. Vance, but, you know, we have a long time until then. But let's say the next administration is Gavin Newsom. I can't imagine him winning a national election. But what happens if a liberal like Gavin Newsom gets in the White House and takes these green initiatives and starts targeting natural gas? I mean, the things that are being suggested in New York State by the governor, Kathy Hochul, we don't have the grid, and the electric powered things, they're not to the point where they can replace gas. I mean, like you mentioned, in a snowstorm, I mean, is that a true danger in the future?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Kathy Hochul is going to have a huge advantage because these judges have ruled some of her decisions unconstitutional, and they've saved her from herself. And so she can still claim her green bona fides, but the damage of her law was never put in place. A state where it has been put in place is a state like California. You have Governor Gavin Newsom, who has a law that by 2030, 50% of all the vehicles sold in California have to be electric vehicle. No one knows how that's going to happen, but they got 5 years to figure it out. So here's the governor who says you have to drive electric vehicles in the future. But then here's the governor who also tweets, hey, the grid is in bad shape. We ask people not to charge their electric vehicles tonight. Here's the governor, Gavin Newsom, EV mandates, don't charge your EV. Oh, and I don't manage my forests very well, so they're always burning. And now we have to evacuate. Well, what the hell am I supposed to do, Joe? Right? Like, you took away my gas-powered car. You won't let me charge my electric car. Now I'm supposed to flee, right? So what pickle does the governor put me in? And this is the sort of insanity where green policies really do put people's lives at risk.
Yeah, and you know, you've got people that they treat this, Daniel, like a religion, right? They treat this, their electric car, and everything's electric, and my house is now all electric. And then you've got someone like Bill Gates who's saying, hey, you know, it's not as severe as we were saying. But it seems like all the Inconvenient Truth people from the Al Gore documentary, they kind of just, you know, turned a deaf ear to Bill Gates, and they continue down what I think is a very dangerous path.
Yeah. And well, I think Bill Gates, I don't give him any credit. I don't think he saw the light. I think he saw the opportunity. And if you're someone like Bill Gates, you don't really have epiphanies or wake up one morning and say, maybe I was wrong. I think you see the climate cult that he helped create, by the way. You see the climate cult being a huge thorn in the side to increased electricity production. And if we don't start to increase electricity, we're never going to get these data centers and this AI that everyone is talking about. And that's what Bill Gates wants. Bill Gates sees AI as the ability to rewrite the human genome. He's talked about what's on WE World Economic Forum panels about how we can use artificial intelligence to change the human genome so that maybe we're not able to eat meat. Wouldn't that be great for the environment if we could modify human genomes so that we have a meat allergy built into us by genetic code? And now that's good for the planet. So people like Bill Gates scare the crap out of me. Mm-hmm. He hasn't seen the light on climate. He has seen an opportunity, and he's going to take it.
Daniel, what are your thoughts on this nuclear energy idea? You know, I have to go back to Kathy Hochul. She suggested to put, nuclear energy to replace natural gas in the future. You talk to anybody, they think, oh, it's a great idea. Not in my backyard. I mean, what's the reality and what's the dangers of something like that?
Well, why doesn't she just open up Indian Point, right? That would be the first thing to do. Governor Cuomo closed it. She has had the opportunity to reopen it. She's talked about how we're going to build a new nuclear plant. Well, you've got one. Just reopen it, reactivate it, restart it. That would seem an awful lot easier. But if she doesn't have the will to do that, this is just all promises. These are the paranoid campaign promises, because she is desperate to be reelected, and she knows her approval rating is absolutely in the toilet. I love nuclear power. You know, we put hundreds of thousands of 18-year-old farm boys on nuclear-powered submarines and nuclear-powered aircraft carriers. They seem to be doing fine. We've got the world's largest nuclear reactor fleet patrolling the ocean, and you never hear of any problems with it. So I think the fear of nuclear is totally unfounded. But you're right, it is going to be hard to get people to put those first nuclear reactors up. And Kathy Hochul has a record of shutting things down.
Daniel, here in Missouri, we have energy rates climbing through the roof. You know, I can understand why they're going up in blue states. What is causing the energy rates in Missouri to start climbing?
Yeah, this is a huge problem. And I've talked to other great Missouri radio hosts about this specific issue. And you would think Missouri is a red state, right? Neighboring Kansas is a red state. We should have red energy policies. But what happens is you get blue cities. Kansas City is blue. St. Louis is very blue, right? Columbia is blue. Wichita, Kansas is blue. And what happens is you get these blue cities and blue mayors who then pass all this climate insanity. And climate insanity, if you pass it into law, people have to comply. So you take a city like Kansas City that says by the year 2030, half of our electricity has to come from renewables. Okay, well, now the utility has to get renewable energy from somewhere, right? They don't have enough wind and solar, so they have to go to the free market and buy it. Well, you know what? There's a solar farm in Iowa or a wind farm in Iowa, and they're like, we'll sell it to you, but here's what we're going to charge. So now what do? You increase rates, and that's what the customers have to pay. Now the city council or the mayor still gets to say, look at us, we're being green, right? We have new renewable mandates. Mandates cost, right? Obamacare mandates cost. We saw that in the shutdown, right? Healthcare mandates cost. Anytime government mandates things, it doesn't come for free. So even a blue state, like a red state like Missouri, can be the victim of terrible local blue state policies. And that's what happens when you elect a bunch of liberals.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's the policies. You know, I was saying this yesterday, Daniel. A lot of voters, I feel, especially liberal voters, you know, they don't put themselves in the situation. They go, well, voting for this, those policies make me feel good voting for them. But when you finally see them in practice, maybe some people will finally go, yeah, you know what, this isn't worth the cost.
Yeah, and that is the problem now, is that now it is in practice. There's a hearing in Kansas City of the local utility commission, and they are going to get reamed, and everyone is going to, you know, stand up and wag their finger and yell at them. I understand the local residents' frustration. Their energy prices are going through the roof, and they want to charge another $15, $20 a month from every single customer. But you know what? The utility is not to blame. The utility is following the laws that the idiot mayor, the idiot city council, all these environmental groups like Climate Action Kansas City, they should be before the town hall. You explain to the people of Kansas City that you got all these mandates passed. Go to their website and they'll tell you, we've been so successful. We've had all this green energy mandates passed all across the state. Well, this is the result, right? Going green is not free. We can look at all of Europe and see how expensive to quote unquote go green is. So ultimately, we have to stop pointing fingers and be adults. But that's also the joys of being an elected Democrat. You can always pass the buck to someone else. And President Trump is the perfect foil. You can blame greedy corporations. You can blame price gouging. Blame Vladimir Putin, right? No matter what the hell happens, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah, that seems to be the playbook for the American left. Daniel, always great catching up with you. I'll have to get you back on the Buffalo show soon, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Would love to be on anytime, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your loved ones.
That is Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power the Future, talking about energy choice, climbing energy rates, and a lot of the Green New Deal baloney we're hearing from the political left. When we come back, Charles Lipson's going to join us. He's professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. He is going to talk about the Ukraine and Russia, possible Ukraine and Russia deals that have been discussed. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on Thanksgiving Eve on 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on this Thanksgiving Eve. Hope everyone's having a great afternoon. If you had the day off of work, but you're still listening, thank you. We love you. Glad that you're along for the ride. Maybe you're on your way to the grocery store. I was at the grocery store earlier today. Oh, let me tell you, I am glad that I am not hosting Thanksgiving and need a last-minute item. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. Right now, we're joined by Charles Lipson. He is professor emeritus at the University of Chicago, writes for the Spectator magazine, Real Clear Politics, and others, and his columns are available at charleslipson.com. Charles, welcome back. Hello. Hey, Charles.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Happy Thanksgiving.
To you as well. I should tell your listeners that for years, until it was basically canceled by COVID, we had a party that I recommend to all your listeners. The day after Thanksgiving, we had a leftovers party. We invited all of our friends to bring leftovers, and we laid out a main dish or two. And boy, did people like it, because it got them out of the house and got everybody to share whatever they had left over.
And it made for a clean refrigerator by Monday.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
Hey, Charles, for the last few weeks, we haven't really heard much of the Ukraine-Russia peace deal. And then, you know, it seems in the last few days that kind of conversation has heated up. At this point, what do we know about the ongoing discussions?
What we know is not enough. But what we do know is that the American negotiator, principally Witkoff, working with the Kremlin, came up with an original plan which seemed to cover most of what Russia wanted. It didn't involve Ukraine in two ways. It would have been unacceptable. One is that Ukraine wasn't even asked what would be in this original proposal, and then there were a lot of concrete things in it that would be unacceptable to any Ukrainian government. Now what's happened is that the United States has gone back and worked with the Ukrainians. By the way, the Europeans also didn't like the potential agreement, so now they're coming back with a counteroffer. But I would suspect that the counteroffer will include things that the Russians won't accept. Basically, what we have in Ukraine right now is a frozen conflict with both sides trying to figure out who will collapse first. That is, who will run out of troops or run out of aircraft and all the rest. What Russia wants is more territory, especially in eastern Ukraine. They want to keep Crimea, which they conquered in the first invasion. They want to keep the territory in eastern Ukraine, principally the Donbass and Luhansk, that they conquered in the second invasion, and some additional territory that they conquered at the cost of some over a million dead and injured on the Russian side. And they want some additional territory that they haven't yet conquered. They want limits on Ukrainian rearmament, and they want a pledge that Ukraine will never be let into NATO. And those are all unacceptable to Ukraine, especially the territory that the Russians haven't already conquered.
So, Charles, how much more territory, you know, Ukraine's I'm looking at a map right now. How much more territory is Russia asking for? And is it a continuation of where they are now? Are there random parts of the country they'd like to have territory of?
It's a great question. What they're asking for is additional territory in the Donetsk region. And what's important about that territory is not that it's a lot of territory necessarily, but that that after you've gotten that territory, there's no obvious way to stop them from a future invasion. So one question that both sides ask in a war, when you have basically what would amount to a ceasefire, is how stable it would be. And in particular, if one side decided to break it, would the other side be in a good position to defend their position? And that's the problem that's the problem that Ukraine would have. I would say that the issue of NATO joining NATO is probably out of the picture in any event, whether or not it's part of the agreement. But what's not out of the picture is whether there would be troops from other European countries, Poland, France, whatever, stationed in Ukraine to serve as a kind of tripwire in case there was a Russian invasion, because the idea would be it would be like Pearl Harbor. You would end up taking their lives, and that would require a response. The reason to do that is to deter the attack in the first place.
Now, Ukraine, they have come to terms with giving up some of the territory that has been conquered, right? Is that how we started hearing about these talks again?
Well, we don't know, but we do know that Zelensky and his government have said that there would have to be a referendum in Ukraine about giving up that territory. And, of course, who could vote in that referendum would be an interesting question. For example, I assume it would be the people only in the non-conquered areas who would vote. But, you know, the people, the Ukrainians who are living in Donetsk in particular, and Luhansk, not the Crimea so much, but those are Ukrainians. They're not Russians, and they don't like being conquered by Russia. So they would be incorporated into Russia against their will under these terms. Let me just say, and this is just a guess, your listener's guess is as good as mine, but I just don't see how this works out.
That was my next question, because you start, you know, what you first said was this is, you know, kind of just waiting to see who runs out of what. And we hear of all these things that are peace talk, but like you said, Russia wants more territory that they haven't covered or haven't conquered. They want a promise that Ukraine will never be in NATO. And it seems like they just want to continue to go above and beyond what Ukraine is willing to give. And, you know, Ukraine's not going to give in. So, you know, where are we a year from now? Are we still in the same spot?
Well, that's part of what Donald Trump is threatening. He understands that the political base, he's transformed the Republican Party into a MAGA party, and he understands that his base is tired of all foreign wars. Now, the United States is not spending a lot of money and not putting troops in at all. And it did in the first years during the Biden administration. But now all the armaments that are going in from the West that come from the U.S. are being purchased by the Europeans. So it's not as if we're putting money in there. What we are doing is giving satellite information and the like. And we declined recently, Trump declined recently, to give long-range missiles to the Ukrainians that could hit as far as Moscow. So it looks to me like the problem, by the way, on the territory, I just want to be clear, is not just that they're asking for territory that they haven't already conquered, but they're asking for territory that would give them a free path into the two largest cities in Ukraine were they to break out of the battle lines.
All continuing to happen, and Charles will obviously keep our eyes on it. Before we let you go, and I know we had you on to talk Ukraine-Russia, but you wrote a piece about the far left being the new face of the Democrat Party. And I want to ask you, this might be a redundant question, but if the face of the Democrat Party is the far left, does that mean the average liberal in Missouri, in Illinois, well, those are two different states, but in Missouri, has become far left, or is it the people on the coast have become more far left?
It's the people on the coast and the people who vote in primaries across the country. That's the problem. You saw it actually in it's very clear in the Republican Party. Marjorie Taylor Greene quit because she couldn't see how she could get past a primary if Donald Trump opposed her. And right now, the problem is that Democrats who are who might normally be, if they had their druthers, might be sort of center left, feel like they have to move very far left in order to appease the people who will actually vote in the primary. They won't get to the general election. And where I found the most instructive case was the new senator from Michigan. Michigan is a state that's very much up in the air. It could go either way. And she won as a center-left candidate. She's a former, she worked at the CIA, but she ran as a center-left candidate. But she was one of the people who put in her two cents on disobeying orders if they were illegal in the military. Of course, the military pledges initially that they will only obey legal orders. So it was, the idea was a kind of, it was a kind of dog whistle about insurrection. But the fact that you have congressmen not just from like Connecticut and California and that sort of thing, but that you have someone from Michigan who's a senator, not representing a small district that's far left, doing that indicates to me that the weight of the party has really moved in that direction. We have a similar candidate who could actually win in Tennessee, of all places, win in Nashville, but that's because of who votes in the primaries, not who votes in the general election.
Yeah, it's Mom Donnie was a showed you exactly who shows up to those primaries. Charles, always great catching up with you. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving, my friend.
Well, I really appreciate it, and a happy holidays to your entire audience.
That is Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. You can catch him in The Spectator, Real Clear Politics, and you can find all his columns at charleslipson.com. I would suggest you go. Some great stuff from Professor Charles Lipson. When we come back, it's the holiday time. We've got some serious. We're trying to have some fun as well. We're talking Christmas music later. I have a question for everybody here. All right. And we're going to get everyone's thoughts on something that was just opened 4 hours ago. And I want to know if anyone thinks it is worth my money or if I'm an idiot for even considering it. We'll talk about that and much more. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Riordan on 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joe Beamer in for Mark Riordan. Final segment of the first hour. Just getting started here on 97.1 FM Talk. So today, the local football team, the Buffalo Bills here in Buffalo, opened up the presale if you want to buy your seats as season ticket holders want to buy your seats when they tear down the stadium. And I love the idea. Now, I have bleacher seats, but, you know, it's bleacher seats that have a back, right? And I've had these seats for about 4 years. I've had season tickets at the stadium for 16 seasons, okay? So they went on presale today. And, of course, as soon as that happened, I was in a commercial break. And so I logged in to look at the price. $519 if I want, now again, it's just a slab of the bleacher. If I want my two seats with the backs, and I'm honestly considering it. Now, that's a lot of, I mean, to put it in perspective, when I started with season tickets, $519 was more than what one ticket cost in that section. I sit in the nosebleeds. I'm way up top. $519 is more than what the season ticket cost per seat. But, you know, you have it, you know, I don't know if my wife would allow me to do this. This is another issue we have here. But you have the seat, you have the, you know, the legs, you can put it into the ground. I don't know. Am I crazy for considering this, or should I just let it go? I'm wondering.
I don't know if you're crazy for considering it.
I mean, would you go through?
Back. What happened?
I'm sorry, Sue. So the Bills, you know, the stadium's getting torn down at the end of this year. And today the presale opened up for the seats. And okay. I want my season ticket seats. I think it would be really cool to keep. I don't know where I'd put them. I don't know where my wife would allow me to put them. But it's $519 for both seats.
Oh, my God. Well, now that, I mean, obviously, I don't know what a regular, but what were they before?
So, I paid for the season, I was saying when I first got these seats in 2010, $519 is more than what I was paying per seat for a full season. So, yeah. And, I mean, I haven't even asked my wife yet. I'm sure this won't go over well at home, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of sentimental value there. I watched a lot of bad football in those seats.
Man, I bet you did. You know what? It might be worth it. But I obviously, you have to talk to her. But, man, the first season in the new stadium, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be great. And if you guys remember, I got my personal seat license. It was a few months ago. I was filling in for Mark that day because I remember coming and explaining to you guys walking through the suite, and they try to sell you on the most expensive, but, you know, I've been a top of the stadium guy my whole life, and believe me, I'm not stopping anytime soon. But that's going to be really exciting, and, you know, even preseason games, which I usually just sell, I'm excited. I'm excited for the first kids' day to bring my son into the new stadium. It's going to be cool because, you know, when I was in college, I thought I was watching the final few seasons of the Bills in Buffalo, and the fact that they're now building a new stadium, that's going to be awesome. And, you know, like, isn't that enough? Or do I need the $500 seats in my living room?
You know what? Wait a minute. That's what you're actually talking about is the physical seat?
The physical. Oh, yes.
You don't need that? Ugh. No. I am with her in advance.
I'm talking about my physical seat. When they tear down the stadium,
no.
They're selling everything. And I get first dibs.
People think, ooh, that's so great. They bring, and I'm sure there are a ton of Cardinals fans who have that from the old Busch Stadium. And I think that's great if you've got a particular space for it, the basement where, you know, like Fred has a room that's all dedicated to sports stuff. Okay, but yeah. Not in the general house. I think eventually that wears off and you think, what am I doing with this? Now, but that's just my opinion.
I don't have that room. You know, I don't, you know, my what would be my memorabilia room is my son's playroom. And, you know, what I would want to do if I got him is, you know, put him into the ground right in front of the TV and watch the games.
Good luck to you.
So I actually have an old seat back from the old arena in Buffalo. I paid $0 for that because I broke into the stadium, my freshman year of college when the place had been sitting empty for 12 years and, you know, just ripped a seat back off and ran out.
Well, that's a whole nother issue. This is not, I don't know, $500. Nope. But that's me. I'm not a cluttered person.
I think you're right, because I think what you said is 100%. It'll turn into a thing that's just sitting in the corner of the basement, and if $500 or in the corner of the garage, and if $500 is sitting in the corner of the garage, I will start getting mad at myself in a few years. Yep. I think it's just something I have to let go.
Yeah, it's just like the what do you call it? The treadmill. Eventually, it holds laundry, and that's it.
I know someone who just last year got a treadmill and is already holding laundry in their basement.
Yep, that's what happens.
Sue, I think you talked me out of it. I think I actually feel really good about just saying, you know what, that was a time and place, and now I'm excited to go across the street and let this one be a parking lot.
Exactly.
I think we're ready to go. Ready to go. When we come back, we're checking on winter weather. That's right. Dave Murray, 97.1 Chief Meteorologist, will be here. And then Sue's News. And it's all after the news on 97.1 FM Talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.